The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. And we begin with this one from Good Housekeeping, Stunning Trends for Any Room. Enliven your home with the 5 top decor accents, patterns, and colors professional interior designers are embracing this season and beyond. And there's a little aside about natural elements. Whether you're creating a personal sanctuary outdoors or bringing the outside in, think lots of greenery and plant life mixed with organic woods, says designer L. Cole. And they've got a couple of different... That was actually number one of the 5 tips. Number 2, dramatic tile. What's old is new again. People are falling back in love with the easy maintenance of tile floors in kitchens, mudrooms, and other spaces, says designer Aaron Gates. The checkerboard trend is actually rooted in historical design and completely classic. In this kitchen, she chooses a checkerboard porcelain flooring to balance crisp gray cabinets. Porcelain tiles are a more budget-friendly option for recreating a marble look. Number 3, floral prints of any size. Florals are all the rage right now, but there's a trick to selecting the right print. Large-scale and organic flowing climbing patterns are great for wallpaper and window treatments, while smaller-scale prints are best for accent pillows and lampshades, says designer Aaron Gates. Number 4, personal expression. Think of the art in your home as a conversation starter. It should be an expression of your passions. Whether you like discovering one-of-a-kind paintings abroad or you have an affinity for abstract photography, it instantly adds a personal touch to your home. I adore a piece that captures our differences and unique features, says Marie Cloud of Indigo Pruitt Design Studio. The impact of that as art can make a space even more dynamic. Excuse me. And number 5, graphic patterns. Taking a design risk with a daring pattern isn't for everyone. An alternative from designer Karen Nepencia of Destination Eichler, if you're hesitant to commit, use a bold design in a small space, such as a powder room, to test the waters. She says, consider a muted green shade, which she says is popular this spring. From Woman's Day, From the Heart with Candace Cameron Bure. In my column as your chief spiritual officer, I share a meaningful verse that lifts my spirits and guides me in the right direction. I hope it does the same for you. The verse of the month, which I actually think was February's verse of the month. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. That was James chapter 1, verse 2. The phrase, consider it an opportunity for great joy, from this month's verse, has also been translated as count it all joy, something I encourage you to do. Joy is different from happiness. Happiness depends on circumstances. Joy does not. Joy is a heart posture prepared to receive the circumstance. Joy is surrendered trust in the one who loves us. I admit when I see trouble, my natural response is not joy. I want to fix it, change it, or ignore it, or cry. These responses are planted in the idea that I can control my world, but the only thing I can control in my world is my response. Years ago, while working on the talk show The View in New York City, I received an alert about a threat near my son's school. I was on the other side of the country. My mama heart was distressed. I sat on the floor crying and praying. A colleague walked over, sat next to me, and listened. Prayers, tears, and the presence of a friend redirected my heart to joy. Joy does not replace tears with laughter or concern with levity. Joy brings a peaceful strength grounded in hope and trust. Hope and trust in things not seen but promised in the Bible. God is with you, strengthens you, helps you, and holds you. And that's Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Especially in hard times, try to remember, count it all joy. From Good Housekeeping, 5 calming moves to diffuse anxiety. When you're anxious, your thoughts can feel like a runaway train screaming down a track. Destination, panic station. These techniques can help you come back to yourself again. What if your calendar glitches and you miss your important work meeting? What if the other kids at school crush your quirky child's spirit? What if everything you imagine could go wrong actually does? If you're one of the 40 million U.S. adults who have an anxiety disorder, what ifs like these may be right at home in your brain. We all feel anxious on occasion, and living in an imagined future in which potential catastrophe, minor and major, awaits is exhausting. Our worries can intrude on our everyday tasks and take us out of the present moment, says New York City clinical psychologist Ernesto Lira de la Rosa, Ph.D. When you feel your anxiety rising, try one or more of these tricks to dial it down. There are five. Use the 3-3-3 rule, also known as the 5-4-3-2-1 rule. This is about engaging your five senses to bring you out of your anxious ruminations and ground you in the present. Whichever counting method you use, the idea is the same. Look around the room and name five things you can see, four things you can feel, three things you can hear, two things you can smell, and one thing you can taste, says Michelle Goldman, a clinical psychologist and a media advisory group member for the Hope for Depression Research Foundation. If you're by yourself, try naming the things you notice out loud to really remind yourself that nothing alarming is happening now. Next, walk it out. Moving your body can help diffuse anxious energy as well as release tension, De La Rosa explains. Research shows that exercise can significantly reduce anxiety symptoms in the moment and may even make you more resilient when facing difficult emotions over time. Even a 10 to 15 minute lap around the block helps. If that walk can be in nature, all the better. A walk through the forest lowered participants' feelings of tension, anger, hostility, and depression, and increased their positive feelings compared with a city stroll, found a 2018 study published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health. Brainstorm categories. Pick a topic. 80s bands, ice cream flavors, anything that gets your brain chomping, and name all the items you can think of in that category. The more you enjoy the category, the more it will help shift the anxiety and distract from the triggering situation, says Goldman. Douse yourself with cold water. If your anxiety has really taken the reins, shock to your system can help you grab them back. Both Goldman and De La Rosa recommend taking a cold shower, holding some ice cubes, or even running ice water over your wrists. This is helpful with intense and very physical manifestations of anxiety, Goldman notes, as it forces your body to focus on the cold and takes your attention away from the imagined stressors. And last, swap in another emotion. Switch on a soothing meditation, crack open a thriller, or tap play on a gut-busting YouTube video to trade anxious thoughts for more pleasant or otherwise absorbing ones that change your emotional state. When we genuinely laugh, we feel less anxious, even if just for a moment, Goldman says. The same applies for redirecting your emotional energy into something that really captures your attention, whether it's comedy or true crime. From Real Simple, four mistakes that can make it harder to build wealth. Smart fixes for tackling financial pitfalls. Credit card debt, prenups, retirement. We've addressed your toughest personal finance problems on Real Simple's Money Confidential podcast, which celebrates its first anniversary this month, by the way. And as host Stephanie O'Connell Rodriguez points out, money issues are almost never about the numbers. The math is basic. What's hard is everything else, your circumstances, your feelings, how you were raised to think about money, and structural inequalities that may exist, she says. Here we look back at some of the most surprising and impactful lessons from the episodes. First, the mistake, thinking rent is a waste of money. The fix, pay your landlord and your IRA. Owning a home has long been viewed as the smarter, more adult option for building wealth. But today we're facing a very different and often more difficult financial landscape than our parents and grandparents did. We also tend to be a lot more mobile. If you don't stay in a house for at least a couple of years, you won't build much equity, since most of your mortgage payments will go toward interest, says Shang Saavedra, a personal finance expert and the founder of the blog Save My Sense. I will spell that last name in case you're interested in the blog, Saavedra, and it's Save My Sense, Cents. So it might make more sense for some people to rent while investing extra money in the stock market or a retirement account. The return on a stock investment has averaged about 10% per year, while the average annual growth in home prices has been 4% a year. If owning a home prevents you from contributing to your retirement, that's not adulting. Next, the mistake, getting bogged down by the word budget. The fix, call it a say yes plan. The B word brings to mind everything we can't have. Budgets are a prime example of how your mindset rather than the numbers can shape your financial decisions. If you approach money within the framework of no and deprivation, you're not going to want to stick to a plan. Instead, Tiffany Alish, a financial educator and the author of Get Good With Money, her last name, Aliche, suggests making it more about what you can have. I look at my budget as my say yes plan, Alish says. Can I go on vacation? Yes, when you save this amount of money. Budget. Can I buy this car? Yes, if you ask your boss for a raise. View your budget as a course of action in a way that won't harm your overall finances. The mistake? Only paying off debt. The fix? Pay bills and save for the future. Should you get rid of debt or contribute to retirement and emergency funds? The answer is you really have to do it all. They're not mutually exclusive, says Lynette Kafani Cox, a personal finance expert and the author of Zero Debt. Her last name, Khalfani-Cox. Chipping away at debt first might feel like the wiser choice, but you'd miss out on the compound interest, aka free money, that's earned in retirement accounts. Working towards your savings goals also stops you from feeling trapped in debt. It helps you build what Kafani Cox calls your savings muscle and can help you afford experiences that bring happiness, as well as develop a sense of security that makes you feel financially empowered. And the last mistake that they're listing, procrastinating estate planning. The fix? Write it like a love letter. Like budgeting, estate planning can stir up a host of uncomfortable emotions because really, who wants to think about buying the farm, figuratively? It's often hard to get started on grim money matters like wills, power of attorney, and life insurance. That's why financial activist Dasha Kennedy says to think of end-of-life documents as the last love letter you write. See them as a way to give your loved ones financial security, peace of mind, and a roadmap of your wishes, says Cameron Huddleston, a financial journalist and the author of Mom and Dad, We Need to Talk. Cameron's last name, Huddleston. With these documents in place, it's not a probate judge deciding who gets what, or your family guessing. It just makes life so much easier for everyone. From Woman's Day, this group of knitters wove a special bond. On Tuesday mornings, you'll find 75-year-old Sharon at Senior Action, a nonprofit that provides programs and services for adults over 55, sitting with a dozen or so other women, crochet hooks and knitting needles in hand. This is more than a club, it's a sisterhood. The group welcomed Sharon when she left a troubled 48-year relationship and relocated to live with one of her sons in 2014. It's been a way for seniors like her to make meaningful connections. Women need woman friends. So many are widowed and divorced. When sitting with a group, we're comforted by each other's presence, says Sharon. The women accompany one another to doctor's appointments and are always talking things out. In fact, the group is notorious for getting kicked out of restaurants or libraries for chatting and knitting too long. They make prayer shawls and collaborate on charitable crafts like blankets for shelter dogs, baby bibs for struggling single mothers, and crocheted prosthetics, or knockers, for breast cancer survivors. It's amazing how everyone supports one another, she says of her group, called Stitch in Time. And crafting pulled me out of the depths. It has given me a reason to get up and go. From Real Simple, the books list top picks for every taste. They've got five options here for you. First, a spellbinding novel, the poetic prose in Iyana Lloyd Banwo's debut novel, I'll spell that, Banwo, captivates from the start when Yejide is grappling with her dying mother's difficult legacy. In the cemetery, she meets Darwin, a gravedigger who's abandoned his Rastafarian upbringing for the sake of earning a living, and the two find comfort and hope in the least expected of places. When We Were Birds is the book, a unique love story whose magical setting in Trinidad takes center stage. Next, a moving memoir, best-selling author Amy Bloom's book, Bloom. In Love is the book, is the heartbreaking, intimate story of how she and her late husband, who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, made the wrenching decision to end his life with the help of Dignitas, an assisted dying nonprofit in Switzerland. From her point of view as caregiver and partner, Bloom writes candidly about the husband she adored, their transformative marriage, and the choices they made during an impossible time. Riveting piece of nonfiction, Tell Me Everything, the story of a private investigation. It's an engrossing memoir about how author Erica Krause, K-R-O-U-S-E, broke open the case of a college student who was attacked and raped by football players at a party. Reluctant to investigate the incident because of her own history of abuse, Krause soon became deeply involved in the case, which eventually made national headlines. Her personal account reads like addictive true crime, and the emotional ending makes this an unforgettable read. Historical fiction. Karen Joy Fowler, the author, F-O-W-L-E-R, her book Booth, B-O-O-T-H, is about the family of John Wilkes Booth, Abraham Lincoln's assassin. This family drama, emphasis on the drama, is set in the Maryland wilderness where Booth's parents and many siblings lived. An epic novel, it's both the story of an eccentric household and a historical saga, zooming in on the tumultuous life of each family member as the country catapults into civil war. And last, a thrilling suspense piece, Neil Young's father, an acclaimed cartographer, sidelined her promising career in the field when they had a falling out over a worthless old highway map. When he turns up dead in his office and Nell discovers the very same map hidden among his things, she discovers that it may actually be quite coveted and valuable, dangerously so. The Cartographers is the book by Peng Shepherd, S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D, is a widely entertaining, imaginative ride with a cinematic plot that keeps the pages turning. From Better Homes and Gardens, Fast and Fresh. Easy, delicious recipes for a better dinner tonight. We've got one here. On the grill, herbed chicken parm sliders. From start to finish, 25 minutes. These little sandwiches have all the flavor of their Italian-American inspiration, but we cut the usual breading and frying steps for a faster, healthier take. So here's what we need. Ground turkey or chicken. For the juiciest patties, choose the ground chicken that includes light and dark meat. Fresh basil, 2 tablespoons chopped, plus leaves for topping. Fresh parsley, 2 tablespoons chopped. Grated parmesan, 2 tablespoons. 1 clove garlic, minced. 4 provolone cheese slices cut into quarters. And 8 ciabatta rolls, split and grilled or toasted. And last, a half cup of marinara sauce, warmed. In a medium bowl, combine chicken, basil, parsley, parm, garlic, and half teaspoon salt. Use your hands to mix evenly. Form into 8 patties. Drizzle with 1 tablespoon olive oil and turn to coat. So their list of ingredients was missing these little items. On a grill or greased grill pan, cook patties over medium heat 5 to 6 minutes per side or until cooked through to 165 degrees. Top each patty with 2 pieces of provolone, cover grill and cook 1 minute more or until the cheese melts. Transfer sliders onto the rolls, top each with 1 tablespoon marinara sauce, basil leaves, and additional parmesan. And this makes 8 slider sandwiches. From Woman's Day, how to make a pan sauce. Cook your protein and the sauce in the same skillet. The base recipe: brown your meat well, then cook to desired doneness, either in the same pan or on a baking sheet in the oven. Immediately after removing the meat from the pan, start the sauce. Turn heat to low. There should be a thin, even coating of fat on the bottom of the skillet. If there's more, pour a little off. If there's less, add a bit of olive oil. Add alliums, which would be onions, shallots, leeks, scallions, or garlic, and cook, stirring often until slightly translucent and just tender, but not browned, 2 to 3 minutes. Turn heat to medium-high and add vegetables, and we'll get to a couple of options later. Season with salt and pepper and cook, stirring until just tender, 3 to 8 minutes. Turn off heat and add liquid. The liquid will bubble vigorously when it hits the pan. Turn heat to medium. Simmer, stirring and scraping the bottom and side of the pan to incorporate any stuck browned bits into the liquid. Continue simmering and stirring until the mixture is saucy, 3 to 4 minutes. This gives alcohol, if you used it as your liquid, enough time to burn off, and creamy sauces enough time to thicken. Stir in any juices from cooked meat and season to taste. If the sauce is too salty, stir in a bit of water. For a richer sauce, stir in 1 tablespoon of butter. Scatter fresh herbs all over the warm sauce before serving. And use that as your base, and it says use these flavor favorites to create a delicious pan sauce for any protein, and they're list 3. First, poblano cream. Scallions plus poblano plus heavy cream plus cilantro. The next option, mushroom wine, leek plus mushrooms plus red wine plus thyme. And spicy coconut, shallots plus Fresno chili, plus coconut milk, plus chives. From Good Housekeeping, 20-minute meal, garlicky shrimp, and white bean toasts. Active and total time are the same 20 minutes, and it serves 4. In a small skillet, heat 2 tablespoons olive oil, 3 cloves garlic thinly sliced, and 2 sprigs of thyme on medium until garlic begins to sizzle, 1 to 2 minutes. Remove from heat and discard thyme. Then, from 1 lemon, grate in 1 teaspoon zest and squeeze in 1 tablespoon juice. Transfer to mini food processor along with 1 cup of canned white beans, rinsed, and 1/4 teaspoon each kosher salt and pepper, and puree until smooth, about 30 seconds. Heat 3 tablespoons oil in a large skillet on medium-low. Add 3 cloves garlic, thinly sliced, and cook, stirring often until golden brown, 4 minutes. Add 1 pound large peeled and deveined shrimp, tails removed and butterflied. 1/2 teaspoon red pepper flakes, 1 bay leaf, and 1 sprig of thyme. Season with 1/2 teaspoon salt, increase heat to medium-high, and cook, tossing often, 1 minute. Add 1/4 cup of dry sherry, reduce heat to medium-low, and cook until shrimp are just opaque throughout, 1 to 2 minutes. Remove from heat, discard the bay leaf, and toss with 2 cups baby spinach, roughly chopped, and 2 tablespoons chopped parsley. Spread bean mixture on 4 slices of toast and topped with shrimp and spinach, spooning any pan juices over the top. And it says, for double duty, try the sautéed shrimp mixture with double the garlic and spinach, tossed with pasta. Stir in pasta cooking liquid as needed to get the right consistency. And another from Good Housekeeping, chicken pozole verde. Active time is 15 minutes total time, because it's a slow cooker recipe, 4 hours 15 minutes on high or 6 hours 15 minutes on low. This serves 4 to 6 people. In a 5 to 6 quart slow cooker, combine 12 ounces of beer, 1 tablespoon low sodium chicken bouillon base, 2 teaspoons ground cumin, 2 cups of water, and a half teaspoon each kosher salt and pepper. Add 1.5 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken thighs, trimmed, 12 ounces of tomatillos, cut into half-inch pieces, 4 cloves of garlic, and 1 onion, all finely chopped, 1 poblano pepper, cut into quarter-inch pieces, and a half of a small bunch of cilantro, and mix to combine. Cook covered until chicken is easily pulled apart, the 4 to 5 hours on high, 6 to 7 hours on low. Remove and discard cilantro from the slow cooker. Then, using 2 forks, break the chicken into smaller pieces. Add 1 28-ounce can of hominy, rinsed, and cook, covered, until tender, 3 to 4 minutes. Stir in 1/4 cup of fresh lime juice and serve with cilantro leaves, diced avocado, and sliced radishes, if desired. And it says, make ahead. For extra leftovers, cook up a double batch. Before adding the lime juice, freeze half in an airtight container for up to 3 months. Thaw overnight in the refrigerator, then warm and top as desired. From Woman's Day, spicy dipped clementines. Active time, 20 minutes. Total time is 30, and it serves 6. We need 4 ounces bittersweet chocolate, chopped. 6 clementine oranges, peeled and separated into segments, ground cinnamon, cayenne pepper, and flaked salt. Line a large baking sheet with parchment paper. In a bowl, microwave the chocolate on high in 20-second increments, stirring in between until melted and smooth, about 1 minute. Dip half of each clementine segment into the chocolate, shaking off any excess, and transfer to prepared baking sheet. Sprinkle with a pinch each of cinnamon, cayenne, and salt, then refrigerate until the chocolate is set, about 10 minutes. And one last one from Real Simple, sautéed hard-boiled egg, active in total time, 10 minutes, 1 serving. We need 1 hard-boiled egg, peeled and halved lengthwise, 1/8 of a teaspoon kosher salt, 1/8 of a teaspoon ground pepper, 2 teaspoons olive oil, 2 tablespoons hummus, pita wedges for serving, fresh flat-leaf parsley leaves, and harissa for serving, optional. Sprinkle both sides of the egg halves evenly with salt and pepper. Heat oil in a small nonstick skillet over medium. Add egg halves, cut side down. Cook until golden brown, 1 to 2 minutes. Serve with hummus, pita, and if using, parsley and harissa. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. This content is intended for people who are blind and print impaired, and available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye now.